guys, welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. You gotta love when technology decides it hates you, and you get up to go do something that you think is gonna be just a really nice thing to do. Because, Jeremiah, we care about people, right?
We do.
We do. We care about people. And so it's sad when Jeremiah is better with technology tonight than I am.
Dude, I have to tell you, I love Rode products. I have two Rode pod mics. I have a Rode microphone that I use on my camera whenever I'm out on trail, a little shotgun point and shoot. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I have a Rodecaster, which is basically an audio board that you can hook in like four mics. It's got a soundboard on it. You can adjust everything, run headphones and everything.
Well, and Jeremiah, let me ask you this.
Yes.
How many of those Rodecasters have you had now?
This is my third Rodecaster. And you make great stuff, okay? But your Rodecaster sucks. Let's just be honest.
I think there's a reason they came out with a two, and we may need to invest in those in the next year. I don't know, man.
I'm going to advocate for anybody that is going to use that product, probably buy the new iteration.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I'm not even kidding you. We started the show, and I walked out to go grab something, and when I came back, there was no sound.
Yeah, it just happened. But ever, so. The show must go on. I see a lot of comments over here.
They are coming out like crazy. Look at this right here. Let me see if we can get this to show up for you there. The Backcountry Forward says the Pizza Ninja hair is the best hair in Kentucky. Are we talking about Jeremiah's hair?
Oh, I hope they're. Oh, look at the Pizza Ninja's comment before that. Jeremiah is giving off a Teen Wolf 2 type vibe.
There it is right there. There it is. I mean, he's kind of right, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that.
Let me say something here about Teen Wolf. All right. There is this substitute teacher at my school. Absolutely love her to death. But we call her Teen Wolf because she looks just like Teen Wolf. You think?
Okay, hold up,
Teen
hold up.
Wolf?
You've been calling a woman Teen Wolf,
bro. She looks just like her.
Listening to what you're saying right now?
Yeah,
you're calling a woman Teen Wolf,
only behind her back, never to her face. Does that make it better?
You realize you just went national with that.
Well, we'll see how far the reach is of this podcast, won't we? I think I'll still have a paycheck here in about a week.
Well, let's go from that into tonight's sponsor, who we are huge fans of, and that's Outdoor Vitals. If you guys notice, we're both wearing Outdoor Vitals jackets right now. Currently, I'm wearing the Vario jacket. This is literally my favorite insulated jacket right now. I've worn it on four trips now. Use it for a week, a couple weeks ago, and I am loving it, man. It's a great, great jacket. Hey, big thank you to Rusty for the super chat, but I don't like that MGO blue stuff, man. You're going to have to worry about that. That's that, man, that's a no-go, bro. I don't know what you're doing there.
Well, John is wrong. I'm not wearing a Outdoor Vitals jacket. This is their Ventus hoodie. Ventus hoodie, notice the vents on the side. If you're watching on YouTube, this is like you got the vents too.
Oh,
these
yeah.
are active layers. So if you're going to be backpacking and you want to wear your jacket, you have the vents on there. But it's not just limited to the articles of clothing that we're wearing. Our guest tonight, I'm sure we'll get into it because he released a video and he started his journey. We'll get more into that later, but he used one of their backpacks, and it is my favorite 45-liter backpack. I think he had the 60, but the Shadowlight 45.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting design with the double mesh on the front. So, yeah, Outdoor Vitals. I mean, you are a Shadowlight member, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, not a Shadowlight member.
Not a Shadowlight member. I'm a Live Ultralight member. Yes.
Live Ultralight, but you have a Shadowlight.
Yeah, I've got the Shadowlight, and I've got a lot of Outdoor Vitals gear. I realized the other day, like, it used to be that Outdoor Research was like most of my stuff, but I have so much Outdoor Vital stuff right now. It's kind of ridiculous. And it's not just because they give us stuff for the show. This is like stuff I've bought with my own money. Like I have a ton of their stuff.
Well, there's a perk there whenever you're a member.
Ben McMillan says, Jeremiah just went full time on YouTube before our very eyes. I hope you don't get fired, man.
I think I'll be okay. I think my boss would maybe think it's funny. Maybe not.
It's all good. But hey, you know, thank you to Outdoor Vitals. Thank you for sponsoring this video. You guys have been so great to the show, and we appreciate you guys. Thank you for sponsoring this episode, and it's time, Jeremiah, to bring in the guest of the night.
Oh, yes. I alluded to him just a second ago. He, interesting track he was on, man. I can't wait to talk to him about it.
You know, with that said, I think we need to show a little something-something from Jesse, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
See what you got.
This is the Great Divide Trail. One of North America's most rugged and remote long trails. There's a reason why it's called the wildest through hike. It will challenge you and push you to your limits, and then demand more.
I'm freaking trying. I don't want to give up.
Don't get me wrong, it's also beautiful and pristine, and the experiences along the way are well worth the journey. Anyone who's wanting to take on this challenge must ask themselves, are you even able to do it? Do you have what it takes? Do I have what it takes? My name's Jesse Manti. This is the Great Divide Trail. This is my backcountry forward. Keep moving forward.
How about that?
How about
that, dude? That is a great trailer, dude. That is an absolutely great trailer. We are so glad to have Jesse Manti on here with us from Backcountry Forward. What's it like, Jesse, watching that?
And I honestly, I love watching it. Every time I watch it, I'm like, oh man, it just brings back so many emotions and so many things. And I went through various iterations of the trailer, and some were just total duds. And then when I got the editor that I've got now, and he gave me that, I was just like, this is it. This is it. So I love watching it. It's weird because it's like my own trip, but I'm like, what happens next?
Is it kind of like you're that actor that does all the acting throughout the whole thing, and then you finally get to watch the movie?
Yeah. And then also, I'm also like jumping behind the like production company and like editing or producing. So it's like the actor who jumps behind the camera and like films the shot, but then also sits down with the editor to be like, okay, let's make it look work like this. So it's a whole different side of things.
That's awesome. Dude. You already got a good comment on here. Love the trailer. First episode was great.
That's awesome. Thanks, Tanya. Yeah. She helped a lot on that trail. She gave me some of those amazing like chicken packets, as well as your guys' pulled pork. I think I mentioned that on the last time I was on, but you can't get those up here in Canada. And she actually mailed me some. Yeah. Tanya Browning.
That's pretty sweet, amazing. Man. That's pretty sweet.
She's a sweetheart, man. That's great.
We just met Tanya. Was that a couple weeks ago? A month ago?
Yeah, that was, I think, the beginning of October, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's been that long now.
Yeah, about a month and a half, I suppose. But yeah, she's really sweet. That was very nice of her, and good taste in food.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Definitely.
So go ahead, Jeremiah.
Go ahead, John. Oh, okay. So courteous. John is so courteous.
Well, here's what happened is last week, Jeremiah ran the show. And so now he's got that mindset of it's my show now. So I have to like back
off. The power's going to his head.
Yeah, I got to give it back.
The power's gone to the hair.
It's all up here.
It's a couple inches taller tonight.
Yeah, dude, with this hair, I'm 6'4".
That's why. There you go.
So I watched your first episode as well. And it looked like you covered about 3 days in that first episode. Let me first off say it was awesome. And then I was wondering how many episodes can we expect? Cause that's just a taste, I'm sure, of what we're going to talk about tonight on the whole journey.
Yeah. So the original plan was to have about 9, cause there's 7 sections in total, and I was going to split a couple of them into 2. So I was going to do about 9 episodes, but as we're going through editing them, we're splitting a few more here and there. So I'm still expecting it to be around, you know, probably 12-ish, 11, 12-ish. We'll see as the story actually unfolds. Like some sections, there's one, the next, not the next episode, but the episode after that, the second section, section B, just is an 8-day stretch. And so it was just a little too long to do in one kind of chapter, one episode, one half an hour. So we're going to split that one up into two. And so kind of going as we go, we'll see. But there's a few short 3-day sections. Those will all be just one video and see how the editing unfolds. But yeah, about 11, 12 is what I'm thinking.
Wow. That's a lot of work, man. That's a lot of work. And you just took like a year off from
that
YouTube.
I did. It wasn't always intentional. It was just kind of like the way that it happened. There's a lot of backstory to it. But yeah, exactly. It's like it was a year since I think last time I was on either in November or at the end of October with you guys. And I was talking about how like, oh yeah, I'm going to be releasing this series in like the new year. And that just didn't happen. But something else did happen in the new year. So.
And you care if I share a little bit of that?
Absolutely. Go for it.
Because this happened in the new year. Right here. Yeah. Am I mistaken, or is that you in those pictures?
No, I've got the proof on my finger.
Sharp dressed man.
Look at that, man. How awesome are these pictures?
She said yes. We actually got engaged on New Year's Day.
That's crazy, man. That is crazy.
So I was planning on releasing the first video on New Year's Day, and instead I decided to propose to my girlfriend. So she said yes, and less than 6 months later, we were married.
Yeah, you said that that ring is your favorite piece of ultralight gear that you carry with you now.
I have, yeah, it's definitely. I mean, it's ultralight. I don't know if I'll actually take it on like wild trips. Do you guys take your wedding rings out on trips?
Okay, yeah. Funny story about mine.
Okay.
So, my ring is too big for my finger now, and it falls off. And so I quit wearing. I started wearing one of the silicone bands, and found out a few months into that I'm allergic to silicone because all the skin started to burn off my finger. And so we're looking at options for rings right now. So it's just one of those weird things. It's weird though because there was an indentation on my finger for a long time where you wear it for like 8 years or whatever, and then I started wearing the silicone bands, and like I said, then all of a sudden I broke out and had all kinds of issues with it. So it's very ultralight for me right now.
Yeah. Very, do you miss ultralight. It? Does your finger feel naked?
Yes. Very, 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 very naked. Yes.
So we had to get mine resized
anyways. So like any part of me that's naked is not good. You know what I mean? So real quick, you do have to give a shout out. We got to give a shout out to Andy Ackerman for the super chat. Thank you so much, Andy. Team Ginger Beard in the house, right there with you, Jeremiah. Oh,
the beard is still going strong, man.
Yeah, you guys are growing them back. Whenever I know I'm coming onto the podcast, I purposely make sure I don't shave for a few weeks.
I got a haircut about an inch off of mine, so
we'll see. We'll see how long she stays, but I don't know. It's looking good. Also, she's a Hoosier. Ask if my hair fits in my car.
Yeah, let me drive pull that up for you here.
John and I both drive big old trucks, so we have no problem fitting inside of there.
No problem at all.
You just got to upgrade to a big old truck, big gas guzzler, and you'll be fine.
We literally have the same truck, same year, he's got a longer cab. He's got a bigger cab on his, but his is evil.
Because he's taller.
Mine is good because his is black and mine is white.
Yeah, mine has vehicle problems and his doesn't.
We're the yin and the yang here. So
yeah, I was going to tell you my wedding band. I have it on right now, as you can see, and it literally goes everywhere with me, but this is the original band that I bought whenever we got married, and then I lost like 100 pounds, and so I don't know how many sizes I had to go down, but I had to take it to the jewelry store or whatever, get it sent off and resized, and still a little bit loose, but the only time I really take it off is whenever I go to the gym, because like weightlifting, I don't know, it's all scratched up and stuff anyway, but it hurts my finger. You know, if you're trying to lift a barbell or something, then you're kind of pinching your skin between the ring and the metal, which doesn't feel good. So I take my ring literally everywhere. I mean, never worry about losing it backpacking. I'd encourage you to do the same, man.
Yeah, I never lost the ring backpacking. I can say that. I can honestly say that. I almost lost it at a movie theater in a trash can one time. But
there you go.
Drying off my hands, pulled the ring right off in the paper towel and started to throw it when I realized it was in my hand.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, so, that's close.
So Ben yeah, McMillan see, doesn't believe me, guys. Ben says I might be allergic to marriage. And Jeff Peters says, favorite UL gear? Jesse's bride must be watching. So,
I don't think she is. I hear something playing in the background, but mind you, maybe that is this. But I hear something and she's in the other room. It doesn't sound like this. So I'm just listening through these. So I don't know. But either way, nice. I love it. And I do plan on going everywhere. I have some friends, they take theirs off at night, whatnot. I sleep with it. It's on me 24/7. When we went on our honeymoon, we went to Costa Rica. I went swimming in the ocean with it.
Ooh,
just stayed on me
Costa
all the time.
Rica. You went to Costa Rica. Yeah. Talk about Costa Rica a little bit, man.
Yeah. Okay. Costa Rica. Well, actually, it's a really cool story. Well, the whole honeymoon story is like really crazy. So Sierra's done a couple missions trips in Costa Rica, and so originally we were going to go to Hawaii. She has an auntie who has a place in Hawaii, and so I actually bought the tickets. I was like, "Hey, babe, like double check, make sure we can stay at this place in Hawaii." And she's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And so like double checked, everything was good. And then like 3 weeks before our wedding, her auntie, maybe it was a little bit more, 3 or 4 weeks, her auntie reached out and said, "Hey, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. You can't go to Hawaii." And we were like, yeah, totally, you know, disappointed and shocked. And long story short, Sierra suggested, "Hey, what if we went to Costa Rica?" And I was like, "Well, we can look into it, but like, I don't know. We had free accommodations in Hawaii." So it was kind of like, we'd have to be paying for accommodations. Anyways, totally random, like basically within that same weekend, a couple from our church reached out and just said, "Hey, we have a timeshare and it just so happens," like doesn't know anything. "We have a timeshare. They have locations all over the world. Do you want our timeshare for your honeymoon?" And I was like, "We just lost our honeymoon plans. So yes." And they were like, I asked them, I was like, "By any chance, is there one in Costa Rica?" And she messaged me the next day and she's like, "They just opened an availability spot for Costa Rica. It was booked up. I had checked yesterday, but now today it's booked up." So Sierra got to go to Costa Rica again, which was really special for her because she'd done missions trips. And now it was my first time ever going. It was beautiful. Just phenomenal. The tropical, we got to see these red macaws flying all over the place. It was just gorgeous.
That's awesome. Is there backpacking in Costa Rica? Or is there safe backpacking in Costa Rica? I guess is the better question.
It's like ecotourism is their whole thing. So I'm sure there's people who do backpacking. We got to go on a couple of hikes. We did one where you got to go up like 10 waterfalls and they like splash into these pools and you can jump into the pools and from the waterfall, which was just wild. I may have tripped and fallen on the second waterfall platform and tumbled into the waterfall, which like terrified Sierra. She was watching from below and that was the end of that hike. So
that's awesome. So
yeah, it was phenomenal.
Tangent Trail said, "Lost my wedding band backpacking in Bend. Wasn't a fun ordeal." So
how do you
I guess it can't all be good. So
how I want to know how you lost it. Tangent.
Yeah, that's sad, man. I would hate that. Yeah, that would be rough. Awful. Of course, then you've got Ginger Gnome who says, "Never get married, never have to worry about losing anything."
John, man, I lost so many things before I got married.
John, did I tell you about whenever we were in Guatemala and that guy's wedding band?
Yeah. You can tell Jesse, though. He'd love to hear it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll make it quick. We were on a mission trip in Guatemala, and one of the other, like, youth counselors, his wife, she was a nurse practitioner. He is a teacher. Mm-hmm. And she said that she had bought him, like, 3 or 4 wedding bands, and she was tired of spending money on these expensive wedding bands. So she bought him like the cheapest one, you know, it's still gold, but it's like cheap metal. So it's very hard. And then he slipped and fell when we were there. We were at like this coffee ground plantation or something like that. And he hit his elbow and chipped the bone and his hand was swelled up. And we were trying to cut the wedding band off instead of sending him to a hospital in Guatemala City, and could not cut it because she had cheaped out on the wedding band.
Ooh,
yeah, but I don't blame her.
That's rough.
What did you have to do? What's that? He just ended with a dot dot dot. Like, what happened? Did you have to cut off his finger?
He had to go to the hospital. Have you seen?
Did you do the thing with the string?
That's what I was about to say. Have you seen? Yeah. Where you like wrap the string around your finger and stick it under the band and then try to unwind it.
Yeah.
Well, that absolutely did not work whatsoever. We couldn't cut it off.
Oh, really?
We had to send him to the hospital. He done x-ray. He said he had a chip bone. He had a pretty severe concussion. It was pretty bad. But he's okay. He's retired from teaching now. Successful retirement. He's moved on to a third career. So he's fine.
It's probably, probably not as a hand model, is my guess.
No. I don't think he's a model of any type.
Okay, we promised we were going to talk about this tonight, and Devin's already going, come on, boys. GDT, ha-ha.
I just missed talking to you guys. It's good to get on here again.
I know,
catch
right?
Up.
Right? So, yeah. Jesse, let's talk about the GDT a little bit. Can you explain for people who don't know what the Great Divide Trail is, what that is, where it is, and what the big deal is?
Yeah, sure. First of all, the Great Divide Trail is in Canada. It starts where the Continental Divide Trail, the CDT, ends right at the U.S. border, and then it just continues up the Continental Divide, which is called the Great Divide up here in Canada, and continues through the Canadian Rockies. It covers a few different national parks, but then mostly it covers some just untouched wilderness, pristine areas along this beautiful trail that crosses the Alberta and BC border. I think it's some like 39 times or something like that. And it's shorter than the Continental Divide Trail. So I usually refer to it as like the younger sister of the Continental Divide Trail. So it's 750 miles, 120 kilometers, and usually can get it done in anywhere from 45 to 50 days. Justin Outdoors did it as well. And he did it, I think, in 36 days. So if you really push, you can get it. And I did it in 51 days. So
that's a rough trail, man. I've watched a lot of videos, and that is not an easy trail. And people talk about bears and stuff in the U.S., but the Great Divide Trail, from what I've heard, has more bear activity than any trail down here in the States. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. No, it's like I'm kind of bummed out. I didn't get a ton of bear encounters, but like I know people who were like talking, like they'll literally just nonchalantly be like, oh, that was the eighth bear that I saw today, and just like keep walking. And you just see them everywhere. I saw a total of three, and I had like two kind of close bear encounters with two that were just off the trail, but I couldn't see them, but I could hear them, and I know that they were there because of their scat.
Yeah. So we're talking week, what's that,
John? How many times did Platinum last week say that she saw a bear?
She said 14.
It was in the teens. I thought it was 14 that was on the times? AT, Jesse. Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, but those are black bears. Those are like just overgrown puppy dogs that are scared of you. So, like the bears we're talking about on the Great Divide Trail are not these little tiny black bears.
Grizzlies are pretty wild.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to explain what bears are on the Great Divide Trail compared to other places?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you know, just grizzlies. They're just huge, and they're just not. Like, I shouldn't say that they're not afraid of humans. Like, and like any wild animals, like generally speaking, if they're given the option, they'll prefer to avoid you than have an encounter. But yeah, they're big. They're the apex predator of the Canadian Rockies, without a shadow of a doubt, right? So you're going up against a pretty big bear. I mean, I've seen black bears and grizzly bears, and yeah, the grizzlies, just when you see a big one, it's wild. There's one. He's actually in Banff. He's called, what is he called? The Boss. And he's been hit by a train. He's responsible for 90% of the bear population that currently lives in the park. So he's just like the alpha male. Wow. So he's killed other bears. He's gotten in multiple fights. He's been shot and survived. It's just crazy. So yeah, they're wild.
Oh yeah, people are commenting right now. Here's one of my favorite ones. Let me see if I can put this up here. Just grizzlies. No big deal.
That's crazy.
Here's the Justin got a grizzly to come after him, had to use the spray. Another person commented on Justin's encounter was crazy. I'm sure you were not jealous at all of those two encounters, were you?
Well, honestly, no, I don't think I was jealous.
Yeah, I don't think
like
jealous
yes, about. You want to see a bear, but I always like, as I was even thinking, I was like, I want to see a bear, but I want a safe distance, which I'm really happy with the encounters that I had. But I remember me and Justin were Garmin inreaching back and forth. And so he actually messaged me like when that happened. And he's like, dude just got charged by a bear. I was kind of talking him through that. He was talking with me and where he was going, because he was planning on camping right where he got charged. And had to, and had to push on further. And he was shaken. Like it's one of those moments where you're like, that was real, and it was right there, which is crazy because I was there just like 10 days earlier, and maybe a few more I don't know, a few weeks earlier. And yeah, it's crazy to think about being like, man, I was right there where he got charged.
That's nuts, man.
Yeah.
You had a clip in your first episode about the bear activity and like the bear cages or the bear boxes where you're supposed to put your food. And it said like on there, this is not for garbage. Like this is food only. And then you had like a little clip on there of a bear. You were talking about a bear that figured out how to get the pen out and open up these boxes. So yeah. I didn't know who recorded that clip and how did you get that?
So there's been rumors at that specific campsite, Akamina Campground, that the bear can get into the bear lockers. And that's just kind of been rummaging around. So while I was there, I was just aware of the fact that, like, where do I put my food? Do I put it in this bear locker? There's no way, because I was using the ursack, there's no way to, like, tie the ursack into anything on the inside. So if the bear can't actually open the door, it can just swipe your food bag and carry it away. And you'll be without food for the next few days. And so I was like, what do I do? But there's no trees in that specific campground. Their fire went through in 2017 and burnt every tree down. And then they ended up cutting down all the Widowmakers. So there's nothing I can even hang it. I'm just like, well, I guess I'm going to just trust and hope that this bear doesn't get this bear locker. And then the next time, so the group that filmed that was a group that was ahead of me, about a week and 2 weeks ahead of me. And the next time I got into town, I was checking the Facebook group and she had, I can't remember her name, Sarah, Instagram, Sarah Cat. I can't remember her handle. But anyways, Sarah, she had posted that on the Facebook group. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like those rumors just became real. Like it actually just will swipe up the pin and then stick its hand, unlock it, pull it open and steal whatever's inside. And the fact that Parks haven't removed that bear or euthanized that bear just blows my mind. Because even like walking up that trail, because you come from a pretty popular tourist region, just a few kilometers up the road, and there's just everywhere. Don't sit and have a picnic. Don't sit on this picnic table. There's a bear around. Bears will eat your food. Aggressive bear in the area, just everywhere. And you're walking on trail, be like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to this aggressive bear in the area. Okay, everything's fine.
Man, that's nuts. Hey, we got great advice on how to handle a grizzly bear from the Pizza Uh-oh. Ninja. He says, if a grizzly comes after you, roll over and play dead. Then when it sees the Go Next backpack, it will run away laughing.
They'll see that and think, wait, Chinese food? I don't want Chinese food.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, so that
was a perfect edit there, man, on that video. And you talking about the bear. And I just couldn't help but wondering. But that worked out perfectly for you on getting that video, man.
Fit. Yeah, no, I asked her. She put it there. I was like, I need to show, because nobody's going to believe me. Like, the bear lockers are designed for bears to not get in. And if you're just going to tell people, like, oh, I'm here in this campground where supposedly bears can get in the locker, they're going to be like, yeah, right.
Yeah, but bears are so smart, man. They can figure out how to cut your food down if you have it tied up. I don't know.
Well, Buckley says it best. He says that there's little difference between the smartest bear and the dumbest human when it comes to bear lockers.
Sometimes I have a hard time opening those things. I guess that's saying a lot. What's really crazy is towards the end of the trail, you go through this park called Wilmore Wilderness Park up in the Northern Rockies. And I was talking to an old hunter who is like kind of past crossing paths. And he's like, well, be careful in these parts because, you know, whenever there's a trouble bear anywhere else in Jasper or Banff, they send that bear up to these parts. So you're just like, oh, great. So if there's ever been an aggressive bear or trouble bear and they have to trap it and fly it out to Wilmore, they release all the bears up there. And you're just, again, you're like, this is fine. But no, I mean, honestly, at the same time, I don't want to like stoke too much fear because I really do believe that like grizzlies and black bears, they're like the bumblebees of the woods. Generally speaking, they're minding their own business. They want to eat their food. They want to do their thing. And as long as you don't run up and swat one or you don't step on its hive or step on its kill, you're generally or get in between it and its babies, you're usually fine. Like I've literally been probably, I've got to always transfer, like what, 300 feet, not even, probably less than 300 feet away from a couple of grizzlies. There's two grizzlies and they were coming down an embankment. Well, this wasn't on the GDT. This was on a different backpacking trip. They were coming down an embankment. And in the moment that it took me to just see them running down this embankment and stop, they had already seen me reared up and ran back up the embankment. Like, they're so fast. And they right away saw me, and I was like, whoa. And they looked at me and they're like, we're gone. And they just ditched out of there ASAP. And of course, wow. I was super sketched, but you know, like, super they generally thankful. Want to stay out of your way.
Super thankful.
Yeah, I was thankful. Yes. So, the bear encounter that I had is, okay, this is a little bit of a funny story because it's exactly what I wanted. Like, I was literally praying. I was like, Lord, I want to see a grizzly. I want to see it at a safe distance. I want this. And so I'm actually up high in the alpine. So there's no trees, no brush, nothing. And I'm filming, I think it's a Ventus review or like a little Ventus call out of the Ventus. And I'm filming, and all of a sudden I'm like walking and I lift my head up and there's two grizzlies coming right up towards me, probably, you know, yeah, probably again 100 meters away. And they look up, that we both lock eyes at the same time, and they're like, huh. And so they start going the other direction down the hill and take this wide berth. But because there's no trees, I just watch them walk all the way in front of me, and then they go up and over this little hill, and the trail that I'm on continues over that hill, and I just hear this scream, blood curdling scream from the distance. And I don't know what happened, but nobody got hurt, but I just hear this blood curdling scream, and then like 30 seconds later the grizzly bear comes back over the hill towards me, and it's like, this guy's way chiller, we're gonna go this way. And he walks up behind me, so I got this full 360 degree walk around with these two grizzlies, walked in front of me all the way around me and then up and over a mountain pass. It was just wild.
Oh man, that's crazy. That is crazy.
But the lady screaming was the funniest thing, because she was really far away, so she probably just saw them and freaked out. But it was like, I could just hear this scream echo through the mountain. And then like 30 seconds later, these two grizzlies bumbling back towards me.
Have you seen the video of that guy fighting off the black bear?
Oh, on the mountain.
Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah, like kicking him down the cliff. Yeah, the one that you just with you and Mr. Backpacking is Hiking Sir Jason Back Sir Hiking Jason Backpacking Sir.
Oh, you love that,
Mr. Backpacking Jason Sir.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, you got some respect. That's
hilarious.
On it.
That was crazy. Dude.
That was insane. I can't imagine, dude.
And somebody just made a comment, and it made me think of Jason. Said, if I had a close encounter with a grizzly, I'd have to grab my wag bag.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
So, Jesse, I got to know.
Yes.
And you don't have to give it up if you're going to be talking about this later on in one of your videos, but in the video, it looked like there was a point where you were ready to give up. Like, you were really fighting it. What was going on at the time? What was going through your head? What was, because it's, I know it's a tough trail, but what got you to that point?
So I guess a spoiler alert, I'm working on episode 2 coming out here ASAP. I'm just finishing up a few things and I was hoping to have it out actually today, but I had to finish up a few things with my editor and I was delayed in talking to him. Anyways, and so that title of that episode 2 is already off trail. But not the way that you expect. And so that drama kind of plays out. But yeah, I think one of the things that's really hard for people to wrap their heads around when you're starting something like this is the emotional side of starting a trail and facing your fears and taking on this challenge. And that was something that was like, I knew that I was doing this, but it was like, it wasn't until I was on the trail that it was real. And then when all the little things started adding up, that's when it really hits you emotionally of like, I already was doubting whether or not I can do this. And then I'm having gear issues. And then I'm not doing as well as I thought I was going to do. And my backpack's breaking. And so at that moment, I was kind of at the point of no return. When I was dealing with my broken backpack, and I made it worse because I was like shoving into the backpack to try to like fix it. And then that got stuck. And so I couldn't put my frame back in, and I'm hauling like 40 pounds. So I don't want to go frameless. And I remember being like, okay, is this the moment where I back out? Because I was just about 5 kilometers away from a road that I knew I could hitchhike into town and then hitchhike basically up to the next town and miss that entire section. And I was honestly sitting there, and with the Great Divide Trail, it's permitted, but it's permitted by night. So you can't miss a day. You have like no grace if you fall a day behind your itinerary. So it was like, my risk was I either like back out and have to skip this entire section, or I have to push on. Wow. And that was kind of the moment of like, what have I gotten myself into? Do I actually have what this what it takes to do this? And I was really thinking like, is this where it already ends? And that was like that feeling day two was just so emotional. Cause it was like, I don't want to be done. And that emotion kind of played out for the rest of the next couple of days as well. It got a little bit better and then took a turn for the worse. And fortunately I can say things ended well, but it was rough in the middle.
That's gotta be intimidating when you're planning this trip. It has to be intimidating just for the simple fact that you don't get, like you said, if you can't just pull a zero because your body hurts or because you're tired, you just have to plug through the whole time or else plan your 0 days.
Yeah. And that's what you do. You plan some 0 days. So when you get to a town, you plan a 0 day, but yeah, it's, you know, you have, if you're short a day, you got to make it up the next day. I mean, there is some like unofficial grace of like people who will just, what's it called? Stealth camp the whole time. But that's technically illegal in most of the parks. And there's a few sections that aren't under as strict of a permit. So you could technically be a little bit more flexible for a few days. But at the end, it's like, I have to get from point A to point B in 4 days. And if I'm not at point B in 4 days, I miss my permit. And if I get caught, I'm getting fined. And so, yeah, you just push through pain. There's a lady who had done the trail 3 times. She's retired. She's an older lady. But tons of vibrancy and tons of spunk. And I was complaining to her one day as I passed her on a trail and she's like, "Oh, Jesse, just do what I do. You just hike when it hurts."
That's great. That's great. Okay, got an awesome comment here from Unlikely Hiker. This is great. It says, "I've never done a long trail, but I have attempted some very difficult hikes. It can be a struggle to stay out of your own head when things keep going wrong. I cannot imagine."
Yeah,
I've had those days. I mean, I think we all have, where you get out there and you just get to this one point and something inside you says, "I hate this so much right now that I don't want to do this anymore." Jeremiah, did you deal with that on the long trail?
Well, whenever I got like my overuse injury, I definitely did. And like I don't remember how many days in, but like for an entire day, I was just walking through 40-degree freezing rain. And I was like, if every day's like this, I don't think I can finish this trail. You know, if I got to do a week of this, that'd be tough.
Yep. Like Tanya Browning says, knowing the bailout options is necessary, but can be our enemy as well, especially when we're hiking.
Yeah.
That's a great comment because you get inside your own head and you're hiking this trail and you know there's an out. It's so easy to just bail. It's so easy to bail.
Have you guys ever watched the show Alone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love that show. But one of the things that I do whenever I watch it is like you can almost tell who's about to drop out by the moment they mention their family. Moment they start talking about how much they miss their families, the moment I'm like, "Oh, you're gone next episode, man. You can't do it." And I think it's that button. It's that they have the button. They just have to push it and they can go home. And that's way harder than if you're in a real survival situation and the option to go forward is to survive.
Yeah. People so – well, hold on. Let me ask y'all a second. Question real quick. How fake is the show Alone? How fake is it?
I don't think
Zero fake?
I don't think it's fake.
Or 10 fake?
I don't think it's fake.
So zero aspects about it are fake.
The Shill Brothers actually interviewed a guy that was on the show. And one of the things that he talked about during the show was afterwards, they have to put them in a place where they can decompress and get away from that being feral, basically. Because their last however long they've been out there, they've become like animals. They've got heightened senses. All they care about is providing for themselves, finding food, finding shelter. Eating at restaurants is difficult because they just want to grab everything and shove it in their mouth because they're afraid they won't have food the next day. And their mindset is just completely flipped while they're out there. And I'm sure there's some stuff that may be dramatized by the production team. But from what I've seen from the people that have been interviewed that are on it, it's pretty legit.
It's real. Even the interactions they do have with people, which I've actually heard one guy talk about how that was really hard because they come to weigh you to make sure your vitals are okay, but they will not talk to you. And so you just have this, you're so excited to see humans and they just will not engage with you at all. They'll just stand on the, yep, get next, next, take off your shirt, breathe, next, get on the scale, okay, goodbye. And that is, they say it's almost harder when they leave because you're like, you're so excited to see a person and yet they don't give you anything of what you're wanting. And then they just leave and you're like, ah, yep. So I think it's real, like maybe 10% fake. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's a few things, like even for me filming myself on trail, you know, there's a few times where it's like, I might say a line to myself and I think, oh, I should film that, pull out the camera. And I'm like, like, you guys know how it is. So those things might happen, yeah. But I think it's pretty real.
Here's a great, here's another great statement. Jeff Peters said, he said, a mitigating factor to bailout points is to park my truck at the end of the hike and tell myself salvation lies ahead. Keep hiking. That's really cool. I like that. I like that.
Now I want to go back and revisit something that you mentioned a little bit earlier. You were talking about your backpack and you could see just how much, stress that was causing you at the very beginning. Cause like you said, it is not manageable to expect someone to carry 40 pounds in a unframed backpack for multiple days. Like it's just it's too much. Like the structure's not there. So you were using a 60-liter outdoor vitals shadow light backpack. Okay.
Yeah.
Now on your video, you said it was user error was one of the main causes of the gear failure. And I have the Shadowlight backpack and I mentioned it earlier and I love the backpack. So I wanted to know what exactly happened there.
Yeah, sure. So this is a little bit of an old problem. This situation has been solved by Outdoor Vitals so that it doesn't happen again on any of the current and existing backpacks. And just so you know, I started with the 60 liter, but I actually ended up switching to the 45 liter and I have the 45 liter and I used that for the rest of the trip once I got that and loved it.
Okay.
But long story short, I don't know which model of Shadowlight you have, but the original first round of production run, it had basically the I'm trying to remember. It's not the what's the special fabric called? It's that's not ripstop nylon. It's the aerobic nylon. So it had like a tube of aerobic nylon, which the frame went through, and that caused some squeaking. Do you remember how everyone was complaining about the squeaking backpacks? Mm-hmm. And at the very bottom of that, there was just like a little pocket that it was supposed to go through the aerobic nylon and then pop into the pocket of webbing, of a strap of webbing. But the issue is, in the right conditions, if the backpack was tilted and you took out your frame and then put it back in, you could miss the webbing pocket. And so then the frame is no longer, it's just against your back and the fabric. And so now they had warned me about this and they had said, hey, just as a heads up, when you're taking out your frame, because I told them, like, I'm taking this frame apart. I'm looking at every aspect of this backpack because I want to make sure this is the backpack that I want to use. And so they said, okay, that's fine. Take it apart, test it. We think you're going to love testing it. But when you put it back together, make sure you get that pocket. And I missed. And so then right before the trip, I took everything apart again and put everything back together. And I missed that pocket. And so day two is when it finally poked through the bottom of the backpack because it wasn't in that webbing strap. And so they fixed it now so that now there isn't aerobic nylon tube. It's actually all webbing. It just goes straight down webbing. And then that webbing arches up. So it always hits the bottom of where it needs to go. So all the new production runs, that's how it's designed. And that's how my second backpack works, which was absolutely great. And I've taken the backpack frame out and had no problems with that. But so that was the first issue. The second issue was because it had created a little bit of a hole at the bottom, I thought to myself, why don't I just kind of clog that hole with some tape and Leuco tape? And if I clog it, exactly, then I can like back it up and it has some support. And except for the fact that as I was shoving it down that aerobic nylon tube, it got like a little, the Leuco tape started rolling in on itself. So it got stuck.
Oh,
so when I pulled it out about 3/4 down, or no, 1/4 down, there was just this wad of like immovable Leuco tape that I actually ended up having to cut the seam of my backpack to get the tape out. So that's why I was so distraught, because I was like, not only is it day two and do I have a hole in the bottom of my backpack, it's day two and I can't get my frame back into my backpack, and I have to cut my backpack open on day two of the Great Divide Trail and somehow try to remove this tape. And how is that going to affect the structure of the back? How is that going to affect the next few days? Is that going to make things work? Am I even going to be able to fix this? Long story short, I don't fix it.
You're using a razor blade. It looked like you had some kind of device that would hold your razor blade. I don't know if you got that 3D printed. I had a little design that was sent to me that was 3D printed. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a razor blade holder. You can kind of flip it around, but yours almost looked like a pocket knife it's like a pseudo pocket knife. It wasn't really a pocket knife. And at the time I was watching the video and I was like, I bet this guy regrets not having a multi-tool, which I never bring with me. If you had that at the time, you'd be like, gosh. Yeah. So what was that about?
So the little razor blade was Lightsmith. Lightsmith sells just a flip. It's exactly that. It's a razor blade that just flips into a cover. So it's a razor blade and cover all in one. And I love that thing. I've seen the ones that have a little like sheath, like you're talking about a 3D printed sheath. But I love this one because it's fully secure. And I know that the sheath ones, like you can take out the razor blade, flip it around, and then it's protected. But you always have, like, if you need something, like if you're in a first aid emergency and you need that blade immediately, you don't want to have to pull it out, flip it around, clip it back in. This one, you just flip it out and it's good to go. I can't remember the second part of your question. What was the second part?
No, that was it. I was just curious what that was about. I always try to bring a pocket knife with me, but I know a lot of people, you know, when you're doing such a long trip, you're trying to shed as much weight as possible. Yeah. And my pocket knife is fairly heavy, even like the little ones compared to just a razor blade. But in the same sense, like it's a trade-off, right? You're shedding weight, but you don't have as much at your disposal if that's the only blade that you have. But a lot of people there through
hiking. Worn weight. I just consider it worn weight.
Yeah.
You know,
I have a couple multi-tools on me. There's just a couple extra multi-tools. It's worn weight.
It's on my pocket. There's no weight on my back. The weight's on my hip. I mean, it's all good. Like it's worn weight.
Yeah. Yeah. No, see, I don't have a pocket knife. I want to keep things super I was heavy enough in everything else that I had. And I actually trimmed down some of my base weight on the trail. Like I started with, all the clothing that I thought I might need, but then we went through this heat wave. And so I got rid of a bunch of like the cold weather hike clothing, and I shipped that off ahead of myself. But anyways, I wanted to go as lightweight as I could.
Tell me real quick, Jesse, I have to know this. What is warm weather hiking in Canada?
Okay. No, this is legit. Okay. That's maybe not quite as hot as you.
I'm dead serious about this.
Typically, one sec. I don't know the conversions. I'm not as good for the higher numbers. Usually, probably what just like 80. I can give you the Celsius.
Yeah, you tell me the Celsius. I'll convert it. I got it pulled up right here.
Okay, so typically, hot weather in Canada is like 30 to 32 degrees Celsius. That's typically hot. I think that's like 85.
That's hot. That's legit.
That is
hot.
86 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay. 30 degrees Celsius.
When I was starting the GDT, we were going through one of the hottest heat waves in history in Canada, and it got to 39 degrees, not including the Humidex, which
that's
is
over 90.
102.2 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
102.2.
What miles and what elevation were you pulling in that temperature?
So day two, what you actually saw in that video, I'm hiking through 28 kilometers. That's that last day where I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. 28 kilometers and 1,400 meters of
17.4 miles.
17.4 miles and then 1,400 meters. So that's going to be like
3,500 feet or something.
1,400 meters is 0.87 miles.
No. Elevation. How many in feet?
Almost a mile up. So that's a lot.
4,600 feet. So that's just under a mile. Miles 5,000.
102 degrees. Okay. Jesse, you are getting some serious street cred right now.
Crazy, dude.
102 degrees.
Yeah. I'd be in the lake.
You hiked 17 miles at over 4,000 feet of elevation.
Yeah, that was day two.
There it is, right there.
And that was the day my backpack broke, and I was just like, I can't do this. I think I'm going to quit. Like, I don't think...
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, sorry. That was day three. That was day two. I had just done half of that, and I was exhausted. Day two, I had just done half of that, and I knew day three, I had to do twice as much as what I had done that day, which was those numbers that you just got. And so 70 miles and 4,500 feet. Anyways, and I was just like, how can I do this? I was exhausted today. My backpack is broken, and tomorrow is double what I did today. How on earth am I going to do this? So that's why that episode ends with me being like, today I did it. I did the Great Divide Trail. Like, I pushed past. There was a campground. Like, they had, some people had seen me, how exhausted I was. I was just wiped. And they're like, listen, man, like, you could stay here with us. We got a tent pad. We don't need it. I'll need it. You can stay here. And I was like, no, I am getting to my destination. I'm hiking past this. I'm proving to myself, because if I can't do today, I don't know if I can do the GDT. And so that was like a huge morale boost. And then a couple of days later, oh man, I wish I had all the stats from each of those days. I had to do another probably close to 16 miles, and it was even more elevation. It was less. I think it was 1,100 meters, so that's like 3,300 feet. And
that's the Canadian Rockies, brutal. Right?
Yeah, it's the Canadian Rockies for you.
Okay,
yeah.
comments are coming in. I feel like I'm dying in anything hotter than 80 degrees. And Jeff Peters just flat out says, I would have quit. So, dang, man, serious props for that. That's impressive.
Yeah, no, it was heat. I just see Jeff Peters. Yeah, heat, exhaustion, stroke territory. And there was a couple of days where on one day there's a 6 mile section where there's no water, and you're just doing a water carry up and over this mountain ridge crest. That's the next episode that's coming out. And I am just dying. It wasn't quite as hot by that point. It was probably in the 90s, because it was like mid 30s.
Just the 90s. I mean, just the 90s. You know, that's good weather to hike in.
I'm actually really glad. I'm really glad you guys are saying this, because I feel like I was expecting you guys to be like, 100 degrees, that's bro, nothing. Here in Kentucky, it gets to like 120, you know?
Whatever. No, it never.
It gets hot. Down here, it's the humidity is the problem down here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but man, 90 degrees is for real, dude. There's no joking with 90 degrees. And then Salmon Outdoors just flat out said, you know, fighting off bears and moose the whole time.
The Canadian, eh?
I mean, come on. Okay, so we have to ask something. It's about time.
Yep.
And we have to ask
the question. Oh, yeah.
Do you have a GDT poop story?
I don't know if I have a really good GDT poop story, but I do think I have some GDT wisdom.
Okay.
Poop wisdom.
Poop wisdom. I will take it. Yes. Bring on the poop wisdom.
This is my proverb, if you can, from learning the GDT, and it is a wise man learns to dig his cat hole the night before.
That's good.
Full stop.
Make sure that finger gets in where you can see it. That's good stuff.
So seriously, this is what I started learning, because I don't know about everybody's different, but when I wake up, it's like I can make my cup of coffee, having my cup of coffee in my tent. And then like basically as soon as I'm like sitting up, full sitting up, my body's like, now, just go, like get out of the tent and go. And you're like trying to dig your hole, and your body's like, no, I didn't mean dig a hole. I meant now. And so I started before I would go to bed, I would dig out a spot and I would mark it so I knew where it was around my camp. And then I'd go to bed, and when I woke up and my body was like, now, I could just like walk over to my cat hole, do my business, cover it up, good to go.
Oh man.
How did you mark it?
Well, I mean, usually I would just have some sort of a awareness of where it was, like that tree, that bush, it's off to the side, you know, something like that. I would just kind of be aware. But sometimes there's a couple times where I had to trot through the woods or through the bush a little bit. And so I'd have to like grab a stick and lean it up against a tree so that in the morning when I'm half asleep, I can be like, oh, stick. Okay, yeah, that way, you know?
That's a good idea, though, man. That's a really good idea.
Plus, there was one time where in the middle of the night, I had to wake up. And the nice thing was, you know what? You know when you wake up and you're like, oh, no. But if it's already dug, that takes out half the work. You've already found a good spot. You already know what you got to do. You just got to get there, do your business, and get back into bed. So worth it. A wise man digs his cat hole the night before.
That's great. That's great. Dude, people are loving this stuff right here.
He's getting a lot of support in the comments.
Yeah, let's see if we can find that's when I do my best thinking. You know? Off with the customer service. It seems like Doc Watson has been like dealing with a customer the entire time we've been on here. So he was excited because he got off just in time for poop wisdom. Salmon Outdoors. He says, yes, poop wisdom. Yes, a bear poops in the woods. So that's
good. I like the Confucius poop wisdom. Jeff Peter says it's Confucius.
Yeah. So this is great. We got Ian Bloom says, I don't think Sasquatch could stop this guy.
That's impressive. No grizzlies, no nothing. It's go time.
And maybe my favorite comment so far is Miyagi. That's too hot. Might have to drop to a 2-inch inseam. Yikes.
Miyagi with the, you know, I was shopping the other day for shorts and they had like 4-inch inseam on there. And I was like, I cannot pull the trigger.
Those aren't shorts.
Yeah, those are that's underwear.
It's a bikini. It's a somebody asked early on, somebody asked if Outdoor Vitals was creating a mankini or something. It's a 4-inch mankini from Outdoor Vitals.
It's beautiful.
Oh, that's funny. So, Jesse, when do you think that we can expect your next episode on your YouTube?
Episode 2 should be out. I'm hoping tomorrow or Wednesday. I'm actually like it will be ready tomorrow. It's ready tonight. But I'm trying to decide if I should do it as a release on Tuesday. I've never released videos on Tuesdays, but I've never really released videos for the past year, so I don't know if it matters. Or if I'll just but it'll be out for sure this week. My fiance was saying, she's like, you should just wait till the weekend, and because the goal is episodes will be every second week. I'll do a gear video in between. And so I was hoping the plan originally was to have 2 episodes released back to back and then gear video episode. Hopefully if I can do that. But now it looks like I didn't get it out this weekend. So maybe I'll just release it this week. But either way, it's coming out this week for sure.
Awesome. That's something that people don't really think about with the YouTube stuff. Like people that have true success on YouTube and have like really prosperous channels
like you, Jeremiah.
No, not like me. Like
Jeremiah's just taking the high horse. You know, real YouTubers, unlike Jesse and John Kelly. Like, no, let's be real. Me. So when you're a real YouTuber,
listen. I was a YouTuber once.
Me too.
No, I'm saying like somebody that is able to have a full-time living and be happy and healthy and do YouTube as their career. There is a true strategy and a lot of thought that goes into your content, when you release it, what kind of content. Like you're saying, for example, you might look and say, I want to do a weekly video. I might want to do a trail video the first Wednesday. I might want to do a gear video the second Wednesday. Third Wednesday might be a tips video. And the fourth Wednesday might be a gear review video. And you are cycling through, and that transcends just backpacking. You know, it could be like a gaming channel or a makeup channel. They're still going to think out, when am I releasing the content? What is the pattern to it? And you know, how am I making it as good as possible? So and I just thought that was interesting.
That's honestly how Jeremiah avoids dry skin, as he watches a lot of those makeup channels.
The rumors are true.
And the hair product channels. He's got like hairdo channels and beard grooming. Yeah.
Jeremiah's Men's got fashion. Immaculate hair. We pick on him a lot, but he's got immaculate hair.
It's true. I am impressed.
I am highly jealous. Like if I took off my hat right now, I don't have a 4 head. I have a 7 head. So it's
Do you see? look how his hairline goes straight across the top. Like mine is like, if I lift this up, other side. There we go.
Jeremiah's just got it, man. He's got it. Well, hey, listen. Let's let everybody know how to find you on the Grams and on the Facebooks. And on the YouTubes and everything.
Yes, absolutely. You can check out Backcountry Forward at YouTube, Backcountry Forward on the Instagram. Instagram, if you want to like touch base with me and actually message me, that's probably the best way to get a hold of me. And then, I don't know. Do you guys have a link in the description below here? Can I say that?
Oh, we can put one there.
We'll add in the link.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll put a link in the comments below because, you know, no, but you can always. I'll start harassing. I'll start harassing John Kelly and Jeremiah on everything that they post for the next few weeks. Of like, and here's the Great Divide trailer, everybody. Here's watch me.
Well, Jesse, it's been awesome having you on here, man. It has been awesome having you on here. We're gonna let you go back to the green room for a few minutes.
Alrighty, I'm looking forward to it.
I hope you enjoy the snacks. You know,
will do. Always. There's some grizzly bear pepperoni sausages I saw back there. That was good.
I believe so.
Somebody killed one. And okay, see you guys. Thanks so much.
Enjoy yourself, man. That was a great time, man. That was a great time. And for some reason, we're sharing screens right now. But there we are, man. For those who didn't know, we are using an all-new program tonight. This is the first time we've ever used it. So trying to get the glitches out and the kinks out. But we appreciate you guys tuning in and watching. Jeremiah, I did want to point out some comments from earlier. It didn't seem appropriate to pull them up later in this. But Tangent Trail said he filed a report with the Park Service and another backpacker found his ring. The Park Service actually mailed it back to him. He said his wife had him resize it the next day.
Wow.
How about that?
Yes, that is crazy. Dude, what are the trail?
The trail gives back.
People, somehow you can drop something. I accidentally dropped my croc. And then 2 days later, it shows up on somebody's backpack. One of y'all drop a croc? Yep. Yep, I did. The trail, dude. Somehow it's magic.
Well, I was at the gorge, and I had left my trekking pole sitting next to my truck and just pulled out. You know, brand new trekking poles that I just bought, and they were just laying on the ground, and I didn't know it. I took off, got down the road to the restaurant. After I ate dinner at Miguel's, I went to put my shoes in the back of my truck and realized I had no trekking poles.
Mm-hmm.
So I hightailed it back to the beginning of the trail, and some guy had found them and just set them up against a tree and said, "Hey, man, did you leave some trekking poles?" I was like, "Yeah," because they're right there. I mean, dude, these are like $110 trekking poles for the pair, and they just set them up against a tree.
We're part of a good community, man.
We are, dude. We're part of a very good community. And next week is the last live stream of this half of season 5.
Yeah, we'll still have a podcast episode every Wednesday. They just won't be live on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you'll have to, they'll be on YouTube. They'll be on Spotify, Apple, every platform.
Everything. So but next week, there are no guests next week. Next week is Jeremiah and I. And Jeremiah, I have an idea for next week's episode, and we'll talk about it. But I have a special idea for next week's episode.
Okay, I'm looking forward to hearing it.
So I think we could have some fun with that.
Good. I can't wait.
I think it's going to be fun. Good. But for myself and Jeremiah, I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the Backpacking Podcast, and we will catch you on the next one.
Adios, folks.